The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation.
Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And it is almost Thanksgiving. It is the week before, 2 days before Thanksgiving. So what does that mean? Well, aside from baked turkey and fun goings on at Mel's house, we are going to, for most of us, we are going to family. And that often means grown children come back to the parents' house. Sometimes they are already still there. Sometimes they just have not moved on. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Those that have moved on and those that haven't moved on. But we're going to talk about your grown-up kids and the good and the bad and the bad and the ugly about it all, because there's often those very ugly situations. My guest today, Linda Herman, has written a wonderful new book called Parents to the End: How Baby Boomers Can Parent for Peace of Mind, Foster Responsibility in Their Adult Children, and Keep Their Hard-Earned Money. And this is a great topic to talk about. And we're definitely going to talk about her new book and get into this in depth right now. And I want to welcome Linda Herman to Shannon's Corner. Hi, how are you today?
I'm great, Shannon. Thanks so much for having me on your program.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is a topic that's not written about very often. It's something that many people speak of and that happens a lot. It happens a lot. Obviously, everybody grows up and there's, as I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Often it's just a wonderful transition. Kids grow up, come back home, everything's fine. Often it's not such an easy transition, and sometimes it's an easy transition and then becomes a difficult one. And I think there's a lot of people out there that could really use some help with this, because I don't think, as I said, that is a topic that's talked about often. So if you have trouble with an adult child, I think most people tend to either hide it, not know how to deal with it, and hopefully if they're smart, they'll come to someone like you or get your book. But do you find that many people, now you're a therapist in private practice, do you have many people that come to you and talk about this?
That's what drove me to write this book. I've been in private practice for 18 years in the Seattle area, and I have been in the unique situation where I've watched an entire generation of children grow up, the children of baby boomers. I also have been a school psychologist in the past. And what I have seen, and also being a parent, my husband and I raised two sons, is that as people's children were growing up, instead of these people feeling really relieved, relaxed, wow, I'm getting to the empty nest stage, I was getting more and more parents, especially moms, coming in with a lot of anxiety and guilt. They didn't think the kids were on track. The kids had entitlement issues. They were asking for money, not borrowing, not paying it back. And our generation, I think, has a premium on feeling guilty, and I think a premium on anxiety. The more education people have, I think the more they feel like they're really in control of their lives. In our generation, the first generation post-war had a lot of opportunities that our parents did not have. Well, with that came this sense of empowerment. We did well. The economy was pretty darn good. And people did a whole lot more for their kids because they could.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has had some lasting effects. In addition, psychology became very popular, lots of self-help books, and we started to focus a whole lot on people's feelings and self-esteem. So there's many factors that really enter into the situation, and it really created the perfect storm for what we see today.
What do you think some of those self-help books, what, kind of placated their guilt or just kind of made them a little bit more comfortable in what? In not letting their children grow up or letting them grow up too much? I mean, where does that come into it?
Well, I think where it comes into it is that we started to really elevate self-esteem and start looking at it more from a psychological perspective. People thinking that, well, if we just praise our children, they're going to feel good about themselves and they'll do well. I noticed this in the schools. I was working in the schools at the time, and I started to see programs come in the schools. And I had a nagging feeling like, oh, there's something not quite right with this, because it was just telling people you're special because you're special.
Uh-huh.
And that's just great when it's your parents, but there was too much emphasis on messages of self-esteem without accompanying messages of responsibility. And that's where I think people got in trouble.
That's an interesting point. I've heard that before. And it's, you know, you're special, you're special, you're special, but special for what? I mean, and that's really a good point. Now, I have a daughter who's 16 who will be going off. She'll be 17 soon. She'll be going off to college. Next year she'll be there. She will be going off this summer for her first year. There's a natural anxiety. There's fear. There's missing her. There's that roots and wings, which I talk about often, that, raising children, we give them roots and wings are the hard part, but we
right.
have to give them both for sure. Now, that's one sort of anxiety, which we'll talk about. But another sort of anxiety is when they're gone and they come back. And what happens when, I'm thinking of a particular instance, a friend of mine in her family, her nephew, her sister's son is late 30s, early 40s. And has never, he's out of the home, but he's still being completely supported by the parent. Whose fault is that? And who manipulates the guilt there? I mean, this is a mother in this particular case who does not know how to cut him off without, him falling down and her worrying. So, where's the problem? Is it with the kids or the parents?
It's really with both. I don't know any parent who sets out to disempower their children, but when we do too much for them, that is exactly what happens. The epigraph or the little saying I have at the beginning of my book is, don't handicap your children by making their lives easy.
Mm.
Well, many times kids need the extra help, and because parents could give it, they did give it. And because some kids have become expert manipulators, not all, but certainly some, and parents fall prey to that, they just keep giving and giving. Well, what happens is, maybe as in the case of your friend's child, he now probably does not have the skills that he needs to be completely self-sufficient. And parents are torn between the tough love approach of, well, this is it, no more money, you're on your own, Buster. And what I recommend is some kind of a modification if someone truly doesn't have the skills to manage on their own totally, a gradual weaning away of all the helps to get them more independent. And that's where they're going to get self-esteem. Doing everything for our kids is disempowering.
Yeah.
It is not empowering.
Yeah, no, well, that's a really interesting thing. I like that that weaning sort of thing, because you hear it all the time. Well, I'm just going to cut so-and-so off. Well, that doesn't really help, because then so-and-so really falls and then the guilt really comes and then you can't leave them kind of sitting there. So it does, I think, have to be a gradual situation. But who should come to you for therapy? Who should definitely read this book? Should it be the parent or the child? I mean, obviously, the child can't stand on their own feet very well in situations like this. But is it hard for the parents, and often baby boomer parents, is it hard for the parents then to come and get the help they need? And do they need help?
Well, some certainly do need help, and they come in because they're developing their own symptoms. They're coming in with anxiety or guilt and confusion. Typically, the relationship in those situations becomes quite strained with the kids.
Mm.
And often, if it's a couple that has a son or a daughter, it causes marital problems as well. Typically, what I've seen is that the dad, or sometimes the stepdad, will be in more of a clear-headed position to say, you're not helping him. We need him to stand more on his own. And, of course, often, and some people might think this is sexist, but often I think it's the husbands who are more eager to push the kids out of the nest. They want that empty nest again. So the parents do come in, and the kids aren't going to come in because they are stuck, and that's how I try to phrase it. No, I really look for what's healthy that's going on. Someone wants to grow up, be a man, doesn't quite know how to go about it, and they're just stuck, and it's the parents' task to help them get unstuck. And so I try not to focus on labeling this kid, mm-hmm. Oh, he's a problem. I really look for, okay, what's the strength that's going on? And I look for the developmental stage, which I talk a lot about in my book, where it's a normal step, just like you talk about your 16-year-old daughter and what she's doing,
mm-hmm.
this separation and individuation process. Well, that sounds like it's going along smoothly, but with some folks, it really doesn't, and it can be a prolonged process that just takes years.
Yeah, and I think that the problem really lies in the parent. I mean, I think that, you know, it manifests and shows itself in the child. But in the case I was talking about, it, I think it lies in the parent. So the parent needs help to know how to wean, as you say. You know, aside. Now, what happens when you have problems? Like, I notice in your book, there's a chapter of, like, what do you do when you weren't expecting this? The child turns out to be gay and you never thought that and you can't deal with that. Whose problem is that? Obviously, the parents. I mean, these are things. I mean, when we just cut the cord, do we cut it totally and let them go? And why do we have this anxiety about who they become? Unless, of course, they become some serial killer. But, you know, as long as they're nice people, well, why should we care? And does that put a strain on the relationship? And should the child not tell, maybe?
Well, in that situation, it really is the parent's problem, because the parent's challenge is to accept his child, whether issue is their sexuality or something else, and the choice of kind of career they have, to accept the child for who he or she is. Mm. And so it's a real step for a child to come out and tell their parents that they're gay. And when I have talked with parents who are struggling with this, and often they'll say, you know, I think he might change his mind or she might change his mind. I know that that person probably felt that way for years, and it took a long time to get to the point of saying it to the parent. So it's the parent's job, and what a tragedy to lose a relationship over that. I think the relationship should always trump someone's sexuality.
Yeah, or their choice in a spouse that they might not like or something like that, which is, I think, very similar. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk some more interesting points about your book. We are talking with Linda Herman, who has written a wonderful new book called Parents to the End, and we will be back in just a few here on WTVQ. Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us. And don't go away, because we have Thanksgiving coming up, and all year round, whether it be Thanksgiving or not, we have to deal with children being born, growing up, and leaving us. It's the roots and wings. And certainly at Thanksgiving, when we all get together, these things really come into mind and come into play about families and around us. And my guest today has written a wonderful new book called Parents to the End. And Linda Herman talks about in this book many interesting things. It's not just children that are grown, but helping children make that transition. She talks about how healthy that transition can be, and that children pulling away is actually a good thing, not a bad thing. And I want to talk about that in a minute, because I think that's really important, that we don't need our children to constantly, you know, do the right thing by us, that they need to pull away to be independent little human beings and grown human beings. But we have a caller, and I want to hear what they have to say. Hi, welcome to Shannon's Corner. How are you?
Hi, welcome. I'm glad to be welcome. Great topic. I think that we need to teach our children how to think differently, to be more innovative, be more entrepreneurial. I taught my kids a while back how to run their own business. I have a 16-year-old and a 22-year-old. I both taught them. I'd always worked for corporations, but I taught them how to start their own business, and they were doing DJ work. And I was at an event a while back where one of my kids looked at me, the 16-year-old, and said, you know, Dad, I don't need you anymore.
Oh, did that hurt your feelings? Did you feel like you've done your job, or did you feel a little bit disappointed, or both?
I was elated.
Okay,
because,
all right. You sound healthy.
He could, as a child, he didn't need me anymore. He knew how to do everything. And it's true. And I think we have to teach our children to think differently, especially in this type of economic environment, to think beyond just somebody else is going to give me a job. And I think that has to be done. And then the other question I had for you is, are parents keeping that last kid in their house because they don't want to become an empty nester?
Interesting.
Do you see that happening too, deliberately?
I don't know. Linda, do you see that happening? Are some parents just not willing to let go and they want the kids to remain there?
Mostly no, but I see it occasionally. But it's really reflective of the parents' issue, and they're not having enough of a life of their own. There's some situations where a parent and child get so close. In fact, one of the things that I learned from my research and 50 interviews is that if a parent and child are especially close, and many times that happens because it has to be, maybe the child has had a serious illness, or the parent has had a serious illness, or there's been some reason where they've needed to be close, then when it comes time to have that separation, it is harder. And it's very distressing to both parties. And so I sometimes have the adult child and the parent in, and we talk about it. Mm. And the degree of the frustration is often the indicator of how closely bonded they are, and that they're just having a tough time working that out.
Yeah, which is, I think, probably pretty normal at certain stages. I think, you know, you have to let go, and that's hard. I mean, you know, parents spend so much of their lives when the children are young, you know, being there for them, and letting go is really hard for the parent. But the caller had a really good point. Do we need to teach our children to be independent in business? And, you know, I couldn't help but think, that is it also possible that this could have gone the other way, that the caller's child, son, I think he said, could have, you know, gone the other way and said, no, Dad, that's not what I want. I mean, it's wonderful to say that to a child, but is what happens when that doesn't work as well as it did for the caller?
Well, that's an interesting point, and that goes to really knowing who our kids are. This fellow is very fortunate to have kids who are innovative and they're self-started, but not everybody has that kind of wiring. So I really look at people's temperament too. Sometimes kids and parents can almost be feel sort of out of sync with each other, because someone may be a real driven individual, and maybe their child is really wired that the last thing they want to do is be a leader and innovator. So it's something I think that parents and adult kids can work out, but certainly parents can always be helping their kids towards more and more independence.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong. That's so perfect that the caller said, you know, teaching your children to be independent is really important. So regardless of what they do to manifest that independence, that's certainly up to them. But to teach them that independence is important, however they find it, as individual. So, and I hear you saying that if you have six kids, you're going to have six different reactions and six different personalities. So we can't be the same parent to every kid, can we?
We can't, and I think that's something that parents need to remember, especially if their adult kids or younger are throwing it up in their faces. Well, you did it differently with so-and-so. Well, sometimes situations differ, kids differ, and it's not one-size-fits-all parenting.
Yeah, that's true. So now what happens when you have a situation, you know, for those that have situations that go beautifully, like our caller, where things are, you know, manifesting as they should, and kids are moving on in their own direction in their own world. But what happens, as I said in the beginning of the program, when children don't move on that so easily, when should we get those warning signs and pull back? I mean, are those warning signs evident at 16? Do they have to be 25 or 40 to see those? And how do we, I mean, obviously pick up your book is one way, because you really do talk about that pulling back from children is a sign of independence. So do we have to let go a little bit early on? So even when they are a little bit obstinate and don't want to do what we want them to do, that's a sign of independence as opposed to a bad sign?
Correct. Yes. And I think it's all a matter of degree as well. I mean, certainly people expect some pulling away. And I'll have to say, though, that varies from family to family and culture to culture. Some cultures, that is not as well tolerated as in our culture. But yes, parents can start doing that a little bit earlier on, letting kids make more decisions, encouraging them to make decisions. But it's also the parents' job to enforce the limits. I tell parents all the time, I can understand behaviors all day long. I listen to people all day, and I may validate someone's feelings, but that doesn't mean I will condone the behavior. I may explain to a parent, okay, this sounds like what's happening, this little dance of differentiation, I call it, is what's going on. However, does that mean the parent should let rudeness slide and not say anything about it? Absolutely not. But it helps to know the dynamics of what's happening, and I think that gives parents some reassurance that, oh my goodness, you know, all hope is not lost. They're not going off the deep end.
Right, but that individualization that's happening that says, you know, I believe this way, you know, I want to have my hair this color, or I want to read that book, or I want to go to that movie, or I want to date this person. I mean, as long as it's nothing that is too far, obviously dangerous and out there, it's their way of saying, yes, no, you would never date this person. You would never do this, but I'm going to do this because I'm different than you. Is that really what is happening at those early stages?
That is, and the value in letting that happen is that the kids get practice at being independent with this decision making while they still have the safety net of their parents. So if they do end up having some kind of consequence, or the dating this guy that they weren't wild about ended up going badly, then the young person has learned something on her own rather than just the parent having forbidden
right.
any kind of contact. And, of course, there's always extreme cases where
right,
parents have to step in.
Of course. We can't have them going out there and really jumping off the deep end, or driving off the deep end or something. But is there a connection here to not letting your kids do that and then having them kind of falling down at 40? I'm not talking about a one-time falling down. I think parents need to be there for kids and people when they're in trouble. But we're talking about a continual line sort of thing where they don't grow up. But is there a connection between not letting them differentiate early and then that they never seem to really get their grown-up feet on?
Well, I think there is, but also remember some kids aren't ready to differentiate early, so sometimes it takes longer. But if you have somebody who's in their 40s and they still haven't mastered that, then that's going to pose a real difficulty for that person. And of course, if the parents are still alive and still enabling, there's a pattern sometimes that just isn't easily broken, and maybe the parents are getting so much out of that.
Right.
That's another thing to look at. How are they benefiting by having a dependent adult child?
Well, that's a really important point, because the parents are benefiting if something's happening, because you never continue to do the same behavior if you're not getting something for it.
Exactly.
I believe totally. Anyway, we have to wrap it up for today, but I highly encourage everyone, parents of any age, to go out and get this book, because it's really, really helpful. You've done a great job in this book, Linda, I must say.
Oh,
it's called Parents,
so much.
Parents to the End, How Baby Boomers Can Parent for Peace of Mind, Foster Responsibility in Their Adult Children, and Keep Their Hard-Earned Money. Everything is on Shannon's Corner, so you can go there. There's a direct link to your site where they can get a book, right?
Yes, and it'll be released January 1, and
okay.
Its pre-sales are now through the publisher. Thanks so much, Shannon.
Thank you so much. It was terrific. It was a great interview, great book. Everybody, again, it's Parents to the End. Go on Shannon's Corner through WTBQ, and you can get it there and go right to her website. We do have to wrap it up for today. I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving, and as always, don't forget to make good choices.